Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand Side Quest right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. As you probably know, Colin's Last Stand is fan-funded and independent, and over at patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand, supporters of the show voted for this topic to be covered, and so here it is. As a single-player gamer myself, I often worry about the trajectory of the video game industry towards multiplayer and towards these kind of massive games that don't go away and that require and often involve and often grab millions of players at a time. And it makes you wonder, should things be different? Or are things going in a way that we don't want them to go? Are we going to suffer as single-player solo gamers? Well, our instincts say yes, but the reality is much more complicated than that. Enjoy the video. The future of single-player games is a worthy course of inquiry in today's video game industry, and for good reason. With the rise of ubiquitous multiplayer gaming and games as a service, and with the seeming truncation of the single-player market occurring simultaneously, we've been collectively forced to wonder if there's any sort of bright future for those of us who like to primarily or exclusively play alone. But it's not all bad news. While gaming seems to be hurtling away from the solo consumer in some fundamental ways, there are still plenty of campaign and story-loving gamers that are keeping the solitary man or woman a viable subsection worth catering to. It's been sad to see our place somewhat erode, yet as many multiplayer games are thriving, it seems to be lost on some that single-player games are too. We single-player gamers have to first keep in mind that we're beneficiaries of a medium that was at first designed for and marketed to those who wanted to play with others. That doesn't mean that we haven't earned and don't still have a place at the table. Most of the greatest games of all time were created for us. But it is to say that we need to check our shared indignation as the market shifts around us, because the market shifted towards us at one time too. The most famous mainframe computer game of all time, Space War, oft considered to be the first actual video game, was a two-player game. So was the aptly named Tennis for Two, created at Brookhaven National Laboratory on Long Island in the late 1950s on an oscilloscope, the prototype for games played on a screen. And of course, the game that proved the viability of the home gaming market, Pong, couldn't be played alone. The pendulum that swings and slices through the market began its perpetual motion in a similar region to where it finds itself today. Over time, multiplayer games have evolved based upon endless technological advances that simply weren't possible, say, a couple of decades ago. In the 80s, multiplayer might have meant two people at the same arcade cabinet, jockeying for a win. It may have also meant waiting your turn as your neighbor flexed his muscles in Super Mario Bros. By the 90s, multiplayer began to expand a little into the realm of fighting games, into increasingly complex local multiplayer titles like GoldenEye or Mario Party, and obviously with nascent online play. As multiplayer games became easier to execute on and deliver from a creative standpoint, the inevitable happened. Products that focused on the Wii instead of the U became more commonplace, more important to the market, and ultimately more attractive to publishers. Concurrent to this was the rise of hardware solutions. Dreamcast came with internet connectivity. The original Xbox upped the ante to Ethernet and also gave us Xbox Live. As a result, we're exactly where you may think we'd be. Multiplayer isn't only a feature for some games, it isn't something just being wedged in or something optional to give us replay value. It's the entire package for some games, and the reason other games continue to thrive years after release. No matter what type of gamer you are, this trend is inescapable. For those who have no interest in playing with others, it seems a bit like a tidal wave building ever stronger over many years. Multiplayer games tend to have a stickiness and longevity that single-player games often lack, and with that level of continuous engagement comes many ways to make more and more money. Maps, modes, characters, apparel, and more keep what would otherwise become dull experiences new and shiny, just like DLC expansions, missions, and options have for single-player campaigns. But it's obvious that absurd amounts of money can be made by delving deep into one product instead of focusing on many. At the end of the day, the two sides have cycled into one another. Many gamers are drawn to games they can play with others. Publishers like those games because they have legs, and so here we are. You're not going to have a monetizable and promotional sports league for Skyrim or Fallout 4, but you are going to have that for a game like Overwatch. League of Legends wouldn't be so exciting for millions of players around the world if the best of the best were battling the AI instead of each other. And naturally, the vaunted fighting game community wouldn't be a community at all if the pinnacle of the craft was beating a computer-controlled M. Bison on the hardest difficulty setting, as opposed to another human being sitting with an arcade stick in his lap. We can concede these points, right? As an avid chess player, I'd much rather have an opponent sitting across the table from me than play a witless computer. But in reality, things are a bit more complicated and perhaps even rosier than you may think, at least if you, like me, prefer to play alone, love story, atmosphere, and setting more than vapid voice chat and kill-to-death ratios, and think 100 hours is better spent in the wasteland than with Destiny 2. Since we're following the money with successes in the multiplayer realm, it would only make sense to follow the money elsewhere too, and when you do, you find a sturdy foundation for a rebirth and a continuation of single-player games. If you look at the 10 best-selling individual games on Amazon for the year 2017, for instance, you'll find that only 4 of them are multiplayer: Call of Duty World War II on Xbox One and PS4, and Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon 2 on Switch. The best-selling game of the bunch, Super Mario Odyssey, has no online functionality at all, nor does The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at number 3 or Horizon Zero Dawn at number 4. The biggest merchant in the world, however anecdotal it may be, is serving a hungry mass of players that want to play all by their lonesome. On the other hand, MPD sales, chronicling American video game sales in both the retail and digital environments, muddy the picture a bit. Roughly half of the top 20 best-selling games of 2017 were multiplayer-centric or multiplayer-only. But again, we have to examine both sides of this stubborn coin. Call of Duty typically has celebrated single-player campaigns, and 2017's iteration was no different. Sports games like NBA 2K18 have robust functionality offline. And Star Wars Battlefront 2 differed markedly from its predecessor in that it had a single-player campaign, even if it was half-assed and not worth playing at all. Developers and publishers alike seem to be most interested in having it both ways, in giving everyone what they want. If single-player gaming was truly in decline, and if we were left as utterly voiceless as it sometimes feels, I think Activision would be more than happy to get rid of the campaign in Call of Duty, and EA certainly wouldn't have delivered a Star Wars campaign due to fan feedback. I think what makes these issues seem so very acute is that we're being exposed to high-profile failures that, in turn, we're interpreting as apocalyptic. Electronic Arts is at ground zero for all of this, and seems to be at the nexus of a renewal of trepidation regarding the future of solo gaming. After all, EA shut down its celebrated studio Visceral Games, along with it what might have been the most anticipated single-player game in development, toting what could be argued is the world's most exciting IP. That must be bad news, right? Especially when taken in conjunction with other studios' closures and game failures. Telltale Games, a studio that made its name creating single-player adventure games, laid off a quarter of its staff late last year. CCP, the Icelandic company responsible for EVE Online and other games in its orbit, largely abandoned its single-player output in the fall of 2017, shuttering 2 studios in the process. Runic Games, creators of beloved adventures in the action RPG genre, is no more. Veteran studio Volition, of Saints Row fame, saw deep layoffs following the launch of its newest game. And most recently, Capcom Vancouver, long toiling away on the Dead Rising franchise, lost 30% of its staff. This paints an inescapably dire picture, especially when you pile these casualties next to the corpses of other studios and hardworking employees that have been cannibalized by an incessantly harsh industry. But again, the pendulum swings both ways, and again, I think this continues to be lost on people. Making a multiplayer game is no slam dunk, because the space, while vibrant in its money-making capabilities and flush with an eager player base, is also exceptionally competitive, and market forces are having a similar, albeit understated, effect on the other side of this argument. Early in 2017, Activision, one of gaming's most profitable entities, laid off significant numbers of people working on Call of Duty, a franchise other publishers would kill to have. Games ranging from Evolve to Battleborn failed to find audiences in the multiplayer space, even though both games were well-liked by those who gave them a chance. More recently, industry titan David Jaffe's studio, the Bartlett Jones Supernatural Detective Agency, laid off most of its staff after the collapse of its multiplayer game Drawn to Death. And Bungie's Destiny 2, while undoubtedly profitable and played by millions, is struggling mightily to regain player trust and interest when compared to the original. The multiplayer space isn't immune to catastrophe, it's just that the bloodletting there is happening for an entirely different reason. While it may seem like single-player gaming is struggling to find a viable audience, economic realities are rubber-banding hard with publishers and studios who follow dollar signs and player bases to a multiplayer space already inundated with quality games, player bases enamored with 1 or 2 games per year at a time, and no room for error. Unlike single-player games, multiplayer games hinge on continuity. Everyone only has so much time and money, after all. In many ways, it's more daring and more dangerous to jump into the multiplayer realm than to simply make less ambitious games for a more predictable single-player market. It's easy to point at the failure of Mass Effect Andromeda, for instance, as more evidence of demise. But flip the coin, and you'll find that BioWare's multiplayer game Anthem, which has been in development for a very long time, is apparently in a great deal of trouble. There's more balance here than you might think. Once we rub the sleep from our eyes and see things as they are, I think the landscape is clearly friendlier to solo gamers than we may think. First parties like Sony have, with their legion of studios, supported single-player-centric games to an incredible degree for the duration of PlayStation 4's lifecycle, and pretty much everything we know about coming from Sony still, from The Last of Us 2, Detroit Become Human, and God of War, to Days Gone, Ghost of Tsushima, and Dreams, are designed around a lone player. And look at what just happened with Nintendo Switch. Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon 2 may have been sales dynamos in their own right, but it's two single-player games, Zelda and Mario, that were the talk of the town, and garnered, alongside Sony's Horizon, a massive portion of the Game of the Year accolades in 2017. And I mean, just look at Bethesda as a publisher. They may have their forays into multiplayer and MMO spaces, but that's a publisher that has proudly and loudly staked a claim in the campaign space. They make lots of money. All can't possibly be lost, right? I think the trials and tribulations surrounding the single-player gaming sphere could actually end up being good for single-player gamers. It's a form of Darwinism, really, where the market destroys those who cannot compete and lifts up those who can. If publishers and developers alike are scared to take a risk and put out a product because they never want to lose their shirt, it may be safe to assume that the market, and all of us, never needed that game to begin with. In other words, we may get fewer games, but they'll probably be better games, because better games are safer economic bets, and there's simply no room for error in such an ever-competitive gaming market. I can't speak for you, but I'd rather be bombarded with fewer games, but have those games be products I can rely upon. As we saw with the proliferation of the indie space in recent years, not all expansions are good. The indie space was once the reliable darling of the industry, and now it's littered with crap, while obscuring our vision from the good and great. We won't have to deal with that nonsense in a space where only the boldest and most talented dare put products forth. In a conversation with GameSpot, Shannon Loftus, who is Xbox's lead for first-party publishing, noted that the single-player space isn't, quote, dead per se, but that economic realities have made everything, quote, a little more complicated. She went on to note that, quote, I don't think there is ever going to be a time when there aren't single-player story-based games. And even a designer who worked on Visceral's canceled Star Wars game, a man who was laid off there by the name of Zach Wilson, told Games Industry International, quote, the assertion that single-player linear games are going to disappear is totally absurd. EA might not be the company that carries the torch, but there are so many groups out there that are passionate about this kind of game, and they won't go away. Personally, I'd like to see fewer games with higher quality across the board, which is probably what will happen, end quote. When taken in conjunction with other high-profile single-player supporters like the aforementioned Sony, who sold some 10 million copies of Uncharted 4 at Thief's End, by the way, it's safe to assume that we're safe and sound, fellow solo players. We just have to be a little more patient, a little more discerning, and a lot more understanding of the trends surrounding us that don't seem to spell a doom and gloom situation we once feared. All right, that's it for this episode of Colin's Last Stand SideQuest. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think in the comments below. I'll be reading as always. If you liked the video, thumb it up. If you didn't like it, thumb it down. And please share Colin's Last Stand SideQuest and all the rest with friends, family, etc. Let them know about the might, the majesty, and the wonder of CLS. I will waste no more of your time, but I do appreciate the time you have given me today. I'm wishing you and yours the very best, and I will see you next time for more SideQuest. Keep on gaming.